time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yep. There it is. We're back. 2023. Wrap that shit up and put a bow on it. It's done deal. We done made it to the end of another Black History year.
Barrel.
You know. Real. We made it. We about to run through the tape on this shit. We are done for the year. It feels feel good. I'm ready for them to roll these credits. I'll be honest with you. How you doing, brother?
Oh, man, shit, man. I'm feeling good, man. You know, it's a balance between good and bad, and I guess, you know what I'm saying? A little bit in between, back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. While you do come out the year clean, and it's like, yeah, nigga, we made it. You know what I'm saying? I was just reading some shit. I was reading some shit the other day about the little aneurysm and shit, just in general. The numbers is fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't even know how fucked up the numbers is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's like only about 25% of motherfuckers come through. You know what I'm saying? And then, it was some shit fucked me up the other day. I was reading and it was like, yeah, only 7 to 17% of motherfuckers go back to work. I was like, God damn. You know what I'm saying? And I'm headed back to work. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, on one half, you like, yeah, shit, nigga made it. But then be like, I ain't know how serious that shit was. You know what I'm saying? I ain't know how fucked up that shit could have been. If a nigga couldn't go back to work or couldn't work or couldn't do shit, like, that shit would have been fucked up. So,
yeah.
That shit took me to another space, just looking at this whole shit a little differently. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to do right with yourself, do right with your life. You know what I'm saying? If that was your last day, like, goddamn, nigga, life was fucked to a certain degree as far as where you wanted to be. Life was good, but you got to get it to where you wanted to be. So I'm somewhere in between, you know what I'm saying? Depending on the minute, depending on the hour.
Right.
But right now I'm good.
That's what's up. Yeah, I was looking at the numbers too. They say 0.1% motherfuckers with an aneurysm got a popping podcast. Look at that shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, you out here beating the odds. You know, shit. Still talking shit after the whole shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. It could always be better.
Nah,
it could always be worse.
Hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's nobody there with you. You know what I'm saying? It's like you wake up, it's you. You know what I mean? And you just feeling how you feel for whatever reason you're feeling it for. And you get through it. You get past it. And, you know, shit ain't no shit I'm going to hold on to. I don't hold on to a lot of negativity for long, no type of way. So it's all good. Just being honest.
I'm with it. Gotta do that. Gotta do that shit. You know? That'd be whack.
What?
Nigga been lying ever since he had that aneurysm. Well, can't trust this
nigga. I mean.
You know what I mean? Like, shit. That's how the report be in the streets, too. They be like, man, you know what, man. I don't know, man, ever since. But, yeah. You got to do what you got to do. Speaking of, I mean, in related news, it's a comedian named Keith Robinson, right? OG comedian from Philadelphia. And he just taped his Netflix comedy special. I kind of wish I went through. I saw the recap on another comedian, Dean Edwards, Instagram, and it looked like a good ass time. It looked like a good fellowship / celebration. Basically, you know, Keith is an OG. He's actually one of the key figures in very instrumental in Kevin Hart's career, you know what I mean, early on, bringing them, shuttling them from Philly to New York and kind of introducing them to the New York comedy scene. But Keith had two strokes, like back-to-back strokes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's doing comedy still, and he's got this comedy special coming out, Netflix comedy special, and the shit is called Different Strokes, which is hilarious. But, you know, just, you know, for the 25ers, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just salute to all of y'all out there beating the yards and still being in the world and making an impact. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. How was your holiday?
It was cool. You know what I'm saying? We did mother-in-law's seafood Christmas extravaganza.
That sounds exciting.
Basically Christmas with seafood instead of, you know what I'm saying, soul food. And that was cool, you know what I'm saying? It felt light, you know what I'm saying? Wasn't no itis involved. You know what I'm saying? No injured blood pressures or stomachs. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah. Respect the pressure.
Yeah. Only thing was, you know what I'm saying? It was cool. Like the salmon is your centerpiece. Then we had like a crab type of situation and a shrimp and some fried fish, which was dope. I mean, that might have, you know, tapped in a little bit, but, you know, that was off to the side and solid. Now, only thing missing was the sides to me. I'm like, okay, what's the sides? Well, there wasn't really no sides, to speak of. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like you can't just go grab some mac and cheese or some potato salad. So, you know, so that was the only different part about it was that it felt like the sides was missing. So next time we do it, I figure, you know what I'm saying, I had to look into some sides to go with the seafood fest. But other than that, it was cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody.
Yeah, I wonder, what are good seafood sides? Because I guess how I see seafood, you know, you said seafood Christmas instead of a soul food Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. But then when I go to the little seafood, especially in the hood, like little black community seafood spots, it's still the soul food side.
Right,
you
right.
know, you get your fish, but it'll be with some yams and some macaroni and cheese. And you're like,
what's the size?
Is this how it's supposed to go?
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes, I had to look that up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Tater tots. Yeah. I don't know. It's a goddamn hush puppies.
Right. You know, hush pup, exactly. A hush puppy, a broccolini. Sauce? Yeah. Shit. Yeah.
There was some coleslaw there, but, you know, I guess that
Where
was.
Where you
a
stand
sign.
With coleslaw?
Huh?
Where you stand with coleslaw? A lot of it's polarizing, I see.
It's very polarizing. I never fucked with coleslaw. But when I got grown and I started tasting some people's homemade coleslaw, it was different. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I could dig it now. I mean, I wouldn't make it, but I could dig it.
Mm. Yeah. See, I grew up with great reverence for coleslaw because at my grandfather, that was like his go-to dish, you know, when we have like have people over or like the little family events, they would always say, you know, Cousin James, he gotta do that coleslaw. Mm-hmm. So, and he would take great pride in that shit. You would think he was cooking crack the way he'd be in the kitchen and need some space and he'd be slicing and dicing the carrots and the cabbage, real thin I guess it was a mayo. I know he had some raisins in there, but you know, black raisins, you know what I mean? I hate that I even have to say black raisins, but you know, raisins got this Caucasian connotation now, but he would mix a little bit of the raisins in that shit and it would set it off. All I know is that shit, little vinegar, that shit would be good as fuck. So wow. Like, and that made the book. You know, like we got in the family, you know, they do like I will say this. One thing about my family, extended family particularly, they do a great job of like documenting and even celebrating the history of the family. So one of the things that they do is they'll put out like various family members' dishes, the like the recipes, mm-hmm. and a lot of them are passed on, so they can't make it anymore. But you got the thing, mm-hmm. you know. And there used to be this woman, I want to say Sylvia, because she was in our in family, and she used to make this lemonade. It didn't make the recipe book, and I was sick about it because it used to be solid. I think she took that all the way out. Yeah, man. Shout out to the coleslaw. Shout out to the ancestors. You know, we do our annual hug fest, you know, for the Christmas Eve situation. Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was good to see so many, just the various generations. We did it at an event space this time, and everybody, and we did it kind of hybrid too. So some people that couldn't make it, we did some Zoom shit. The Zoom energy doesn't always transcend though. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it was cool to see, to be amongst the people. And then the next day I went out to my sister's crib, and we, you know, with the more immediate family, did the dinner. This is the same since Thanksgiving. This is like the second time we would have hopes to watch a movie, but we wound up at that dining room table having some real heavy, sometimes heated conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, and these just go on for hours. And they good though. They're good, but it's interesting, right? And what I'm realizing, like you know, from doing the hug fest, and then just even at my sister's crib, but particularly even the hug fest in general, not even just family, but yo, I still can't believe I'm not young anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what you saying?
I can't believe that shit. I don't feel young. I mean, I don't feel old. Like, only time when I say I'm 46, that's mm-hmm. when I know I'm 46. But like, I see young people in the world. Not to say that I identify with them or try to be like them, but like, you know what I'm saying? I remember the walk, you know, like that journey, like, mm-hmm. you know, so it's very interesting. Like, until I'm around young people, then I'm like, okay, I'm not a young person. Mm-hmm. You know, my perspective is different. Like, I'm not outside like these young motherfuckers are. Right. You know, when you young and you outside, like this your maiden voyage, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like when you finding your way, creating your legacy, just moving and shaking, just, you know, tan through it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference in what you encounter, right? And, you know, I've had this theory where I feel like, I don't know if it's a hot take. I don't think it's a hot take, but I've had this. Maybe it's because I'm older. And let me stop undermining it. There's a part of me that feel like New York fell off, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's hard to say. I don't even like saying that shit. But the allure isn't as strong. Now, mm-hmm. mind you, I'm damn near middle age. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my experience, because I was saying it at the table, and I could tell some of the young motherfuckers was like, I don't know about that, Pop. You know what I'm saying? But like, they were respectful, but I could feel, you know, I deal with crowds for a living. I could feel niggas pull back like, oh, hey, where he be at? You know, because wherever I be at, don't be where to be. You know, so it's just like, it just showed me something about this new perspective, you know. But it was interesting. That was interesting. And then just being in these conversations with younger people, what I do appreciate a lot is the passion, the idealism, the like energy to feel as though you can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they ain't been beaten down by the reality of life. Not to say that you can't change the world, but I think there is a fire that it can subside as you get older, as you've lived some seasons and you've seen the cycle of events, and maybe you've had your heart broken, and not even in a intimate way, but like just in a cause way, right. You know, like where you like, you really gung-ho about some shit and then something happened and you like, you realize, damn, this shit ain't what I thought it was. Something that, you know, you introduced to some corruption or a hero that, or, you know, was compromised or whatever it took. The spirit might have been broken. Maybe the spirit might not have been broken, but like the, like it just, the reality of it sometimes is like a lot of, there's a lot of buckets of water that could be thrown on your fire.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to keep that flame alive. And,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I know things change. You know what I'm saying? Your perspective changes. I think as far as changing the world, I think when you're younger, you just feel like you could change the whole world. Like the world is so much, feels so much smaller when you're young.
Right.
When you get older, that shit get bigger, and it be like, nigga, I can't change all that shit. I could change this little shit right here, and then you start realizing your reach, you know what I'm saying, of what you can right. do a little better. And sometimes it could change the whole world. But then sometimes it could just change your neighborhood, which changes things in your city, which changes, you know what I'm saying? It's just a slow burn, you know what I mean? Changing the world is not all at once. Everybody ain't finna just fall into your line all at once. But I feel like, you know, you still make an impact. And I think when people come to that realization that their impact ain't as impactful as they thought it was, then it becomes like, ah, shit, either you stop or you just go with that. But yeah, the young people got the young, you know what I'm saying? You gotta let yeah. them young, you know what I'm saying? Like
my you daughter, got to. You got yeah.
My daughter's asking me about some shoes today, you know, just mm-hmm. this to take shit back, you know what I'm saying? Exchange, spend your Christmas money time. So she was mm-hmm. like, some shoes she was looking at, and she was like, you think these cute? And I was like, well, you know, not to me, but I ain't outside. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's cute. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the new shit is to me. Them shits look like Bobos. But if that's what you want. Then she put them on. And I was like, oh, those are kind of cute. You know what I'm saying? And then I could see how they fit into today as opposed to my thought process. You know what I'm saying? So it's just weird watching everybody put together they whole package, you know what I'm saying? This is how I'm doing it, because this is how I'm thinking. And you be thinking like, man, shit, I don't know what's going on. But you do know what's going on, because at the time, you was doing the same old shit. And that's what you rest in. Like, you know, I got my shit, I do, they got their shit, they do. It's their time. You know, you yeah. keep doing your shit. You got your time, you still got time to do your shit. It's just your shit. Not everybody outside shit.
Right. We still on the clock. All of us.
Yeah.
We just got different shifts or different positions
yeah.
in the company of life.
Right.
But yeah. And I agree with that. And I was trying to convey that without being an op. You know, the whole that point of like a lot of young people want to save the entire world. He's got the whole world in his hands. You know, that type of shit, like to save the whole, and not even, and they ain't got no patience for incremental change.
Right.
They don't even want to hear about incremental change.
Right.
A lot of times the way they talk is like niggas are still on the plantation. Right. You know?
They be thinking that they little shit is how everybody think. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you be looking at shit from a different perspective. Like, that ain't gonna hit south of goddamn Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Or that's gonna hit right here. That's hit. But that ain't what everybody else thinking. But when you young, you feel like whatever you into, everybody into, or they slow, or they country.
Right. Or they in the fucking way. You know?
Damn.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
In the like, way.
No. Sometimes that energy comes across.
No, I feel you, but I've just never felt like no old motherfucker was in my way.
Man, I remember when I was, I remember when I was young, but I do. When I was young, like this college, I remember thinking it was, and I, maybe it was some shit that I constructed to give me, you know, sometimes people will create a chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember like trying to break it to the industry, right? Mm-hmm. On various levels, right? And not even deep into the industry, but just into the in the door,
mm-hmm.
right? And the only reference point you have is typically what's right immediately in front of you, mm-hmm. right? So it would be like the upperclassmen doing it. Like when we first started doing parties and shit, we created like a little, we had to create a whole new company, a crew. And we had a company at one point, it was called Surreal Entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. And we were looking at some of the other crews that were throwing these parties, and we was kind of not having a hard time. I guess it was just the typical journey to establish yourself. But I think there was this like impatience of, yo, get these old niggas the fuck out the way. You know what I mean? And they not, they might be 2 years ahead. But to us, they are in the fucking way. Like, yo, they, you heard this? You know what I mean? Like, everything, it was so much scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, you could have that for your entire life.
Right.
You could place somebody in the way. It could be, I can't because of these people. When the only person that you, and not even at war with, but the only person that you can even control or should be in communication with is yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And gauging where you are versus where you're trying to go, where you've been, things of that nature. But I know for a while, it was definitely like, yeah, man, such and such over there, man. They don't know nothing. You know what I'm saying? And the reality was, in retrospect, shit, we ain't know nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We knew what we knew, and we knew it on an instinctual level, and you can't tell a motherfucker shit because you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
You just know what you think you know what I mean? Like, you just, that shit was, so I understand that energy on a certain level. I get it.
I think I came up right in that era, that 80s crack era where it democratized everything. Where old school niggas was on top like a motherfucker, like, but that was before my time, you know what I'm saying? So it was just the niggas that was on top. And then by the time we really got outside real good, the crack era came and it, niggas who had nothing was taking over. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that shit transcended just the streets. It was just like, hip hop came and just started taking over the clubs and taking over the airwaves. And you know what I'm saying? It was just like a time where you could see that your voice mattered. And it didn't matter what none of them other motherfuckers was thinking or doing, because this is what I'm doing and the whole world is on what I'm doing. That's what I thought. You know what I'm saying? And then when I got to like college and starting companies and shit, and we did some stuff that worked. And it was like, damn, see, we could do that shit in our own way. But you had no real reference point for it. And the dude that used to be Spike Lee's DP, and I can't think of his name right now. Damn, it was this DP.
Ernest Dickerson?
Yeah, Ernest Dickerson. He came to speak at FAM. And he was like, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times when you're young and you're doing stuff, you're just operating. You're operating on dumb speed because you don't know no better. You don't know failures. You don't know losing money, your house, and all that shit. You just operate. And that's what you should do. And once I heard that, then I understood the whole thing. I never worried about what the old motherfuckers was talking about, because it was just, I'm thinking this is how I think it should go, and this is how I'm going to do it. So that was never a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there have been times when some old motherfuckers was in my way, not just because they was old, just because they was in the fucking way. You know what I'm saying? It really ain't had nothing to do with the age, other than they had a certain piece of the pie that they wouldn't let nobody else eat off of. So that was just that. But in general, you know what I'm saying? You gotta let the new minds come up with the new way, because they, it's their world. You know what I'm saying? And then in your space, you got to do your shit your way. And fuck it till you ball out, till you fall out. And when it's over for you, it's over for you. Shit. That's yep. how I see it.
I agree. For sure. For sure. For sure. Definitely. Let us know what you think in the comments, man. You know, if you got any old cats that's in the way, at them in our comments. No, but yeah, let us, you know, shout us out. Speaking of Christmas, all wasn't well. I will say that it was a moment. So while at the Hug Fest, somebody hit my fucking car while it was parked.
Oh Lord!
Hell yeah! Hell yeah! I didn't even realize it till I got to the crib. And I looked and I said, oh, shit. Fortunately, it wasn't crazy, but it was one of those things where, like, I parked
and a little bit of money. This nigga in my way.
Yep, exactly. Oh, like, I mean, get this. I didn't even look at it like that, but you absolutely see, this is what happened. But, when I parked a little bit, not in the crosswalk, but you know how the lines be. It was enough room. I could have moved up a little bit, but I didn't want to be all up on the car in front of me because then I'm thinking, you know, when they pull back, I don't want them to tap mine. I hate when people, like, you know, be humping cars. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, fall back, you know. You know what I'm saying? So I gave a little space. But I ain't gonna lie, it was on my mind, and it was on my mind in the moment. There was a part of me that was like, maybe park somewhere else. And I hate that part of the whole thing more than anything. You know, obviously getting your shit hit, that hurts too. Pause. But it was it's the like fucking damn, I should, you know, when you beat yourself up, like, damn, I should have listened to my gut or whatever. But it wasn't, you know, I had to park somewhere crazy or whatever the fuck. Anyway, I was tight. I had to really calibrate my mood, you know, because the thing about being angry on Christmas is you ain't gonna get a whole lot of, like, not empathy, but there ain't gonna be too many people. It fucks the mood up. Everybody, Merry Christmas! Hey, da 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 da. You tight? You know what I mean? I jumped in the group chat. Was like, yeah, Merry Christmas, man. But you know, such and such happened. And niggas, sometimes niggas don't know what to say.
They just
niggas
skip right over that shit. Like,
yeah, or hit you with a laughing face emoji. But anyway, you know, nigga, nah. You know what I mean? But nobody want to hear that shit. Nobody, you got to process that shit. Nobody would hear that shit, nigga. We unwrapping gifts. We singing joy to the world. We sipping eggnog, my nigga. I hate that it happened to you, but this is Jesus' born day. You know, so I had mind. The cottage. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All of that. You come on now. You fucking the vibe up, brother. You ordered a whole different playlist. So it took me a minute. I had to get my mind right. And just stew dolo, watch some TV, whatever. I don't know what I watched. And I went out, got with the family.
Yeah, that's stewing. That's good to be with the family. Solo mission.
Stew. Oh yeah, stew. Especially on, like I told you, especially on December 25th. Nobody trying to stew with you. You know what I mean? But yeah. But I got with the family later on that night, and it was all good. And I don't think it's going to be super crazy. I was a little tight because I literally just talked down my car insurance premium because my shit went up drastically from one pot, like from one year to the next. I so much so I had to call him like, yo, what's going on? Like, y'all hit me like I was in an accident or something crazy. Mm-hmm. Turns out they did this thing. I don't know if it's all insurances, but I got Geico. They did this thing to where they just automatically cover your spouse and that you paying to cover your spouse, whether you married or not. Whether you married or not. Spouse? And they don't tell you. I ain't got no spouse. And they don't tell you at all. You just taking on the payment. Had I not called and they told me that, I was like, yo, get that out of here. They was like, well, you got to sign this. Send that shit to me. I ain't got no spouse. What the fuck? I'm not paying. Come on, stop that. So that that cut away a good amount. And then I had some other little finagling. You know what I mean? Shout out to Tasia, I think her name was. Because I caught in a tight move, but Tasia got me right and helped me kind of, you know, trim the fat on that shit.
It was Christmas.
But now here we go. But,
Yeah, man. I got a lot of beef with companies that I had when I was broke.
You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Because they treat you bad when you broke, man. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
Don't miss your payment a day and then come in a day later. Now your premium, your shit is up to $30, $40. You know what I'm saying? Or every month they do, this is a certain shit, the way they do the banking. They hit it on a certain day every month. And then all of a sudden they hit it on another day this time. And you be like, ah. So I Geico, one of them companies I got beef with. I don't even put them in my comparison shopping, because it's just internal. They the one of them old niggas who you talking about, one of them old companies. I can't do it.
Yeah, where it's just a standard beef.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
off the strength.
It's on the strength. You know, because they treat you wrong, man. They treat you wrong.
Yeah, because they like, what you gonna do? Where else you gonna go?
Right.
And it's crazy too for a company like that, like. When a company like that get funny, when you seen them come up in the game, when you remember when they was the new kid on the block and they get a little funky, you know, like they get brand new, you know what I'm saying? It's, you feel like that dude at Goodfellas that knew Joe Pesci back when he was shining shoes, you know what I'm saying? But nah, they made now. That's how Netflix be acting sometimes, low key, you know.
Yeah, like Netflix ain't never gave me no problems. You know what I'm saying? Acting no different no other time. Maybe because I needed.
They ain't give me
because I needed that shit because the kids needed something to watch.
Yeah.
But
they ain't give me no customer service problems, but they like their little surges just becoming real arbitrary sometimes.
Right.
I'm like, whoa, hold on, slow down. What's going on? Especially sometimes I don't think the program is matching up.
Right.
But
I got Citibank and Geico on my list. They at the top of the list.
Wow.
Fuck with them niggas.
Who I'm trying to think who I got on that list. I know I got somebody on the list. I probably, you know, my thing is I realize I'll be blocking shit out all the way. I'm good at a block out. So like if they all on my list, I don't even see them niggas is obsolete. They folded in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even recognize their logo, whoever it is. But, yeah, I'd have to really give it some thought. but, yeah. Oh, shit. So, that's what's up. We're gonna handle that. Speaking of Netflix, though, I will say that I'm looking forward to seeing this Dave Chappelle special that's supposed to drop on New Year's Eve.
Oh, really?
So that should be, yeah. He got a new joint coming out on the 31st. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he's talking about.
That's what's up.
You know, it's been a little while since I seen him, I don't know, quite a few months ago. But, I'm just curious to see what he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, man. Speaking of television, I think it's time we get into some of these recapuaries. I know that's not a real word, but you know, it just felt good. Where you want to go first?
No, I was, you know, get Fargo on out the way.
Okay, let's get it on out the way. Fargo episode 6, The Tender Trap.
Yeah.
I'm
fucking crack with it, man. I'm fucking with it. You know what I'm saying? I like the arc. I like the how they putting it together. You know what I'm saying? How they taking pieces from this place and moving them around, and now it's a different outlook on who the villains are and who you know what I'm saying? It's all tripped out, you know? So this particular episode, little Dottie done escaped from the hospital, protecting her lion and her kid, her cub, you know what I'm saying? Switching out the rooms. Escaping through.
Nah, that's the other one. That's,
huh? I know. That was the last one. I said I'm just setting it up.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah. I was saying she has escaped. She has done all of that. Switched out the room because that's how the other man got took. And now the man that's took is out there dealing with the pressure of being took. You know what I'm saying? By Roy and them out there in North Dakota. So now we have the fallout. This is where we at. You know what I'm saying? So we come in and the FBI agents are talking to the husband. You know what I'm saying? The local beat cop is coming in, you know, trying to figure out things. I guess she got the report on the guy who got took. So she's trying to figure that out, you know, saying she's looking around, seeing things of how it could be tied back to her own case. My man just got took. He was supposed to have surgery today. You know what I'm saying? He just gone. His wife is hysterical. And Roy put a bullet in his motherfucking head because he the wrong nigga. Again, looking at the fuck up son. I thought you had a look at him. I did. You know what I'm saying? But it was dark. And it was on fire. So, really, he ain't had no luck. And he's back to being fucked. Pop so fucked up, fed up with his ass. He like, son, you got a thorn in your paw, nigga. Somebody got a horseshoe out there upside down with your name on it, nigga. You got bad luck. So, we gonna have to go pay the boogeyman to get this shit correct. Boogeyman being the hitman who they didn't pay, who they tried to kill, who got their ass on the motherfucking run. So they go pay off the boogeyman. You know what I'm saying? Boogeyman got some tripped out outfits, man. What's that outfit, man? What he got on?
I ain't remember what he had on. I just know he talked like he tweeting.
He got like a kilt. He wearing a kilt with some rolled up jeans and some Doc Martin looking boots. And you know what I'm saying? Like a thrift store overcoat, plaid overcoat. I'm like, man, this man got a tripped out outfit, but he kind of fresh, but not my kind of fresh, but I it's a look.
Boogeyman chic.
Man got on a look. So they go pay the boogeyman. Son's supposed to search him down and get his ass back in the car. But what does he do? Not get back in the car. He go out, wait for, you know, she want to talk his shit to the boogeyman because the boogeyman got the best of him. So he wanted to talk his shit. So when Boogeyman come out, he leaning on the car, you know, to talk his shit. But he out there because we put a tracker on the car, like an old school tracker. It ain't like, nigga, it's 2019. There's some different kinds of trackers you could have used. He got the kind with the antenna on the bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like from the Scarface movie.
Yes, old school old technology. School.
So, word. Yeah. So he out there putting the tracker on the car, which means he gonna go fuck it up some kind of way. He's still in the mix of fucking it up when he's supposed to just be letting that shit go. Go sit down somewhere. Right. But you know, he's the fuck up. But go ahead.
He's definitely the fuck up. And the whole reason they paying Munch is to, like you said, get that thorn out his paw. You know what I mean? This is going to get you out the way, you know, so you could do your job to the best of your ability. We're going to handle that, but he can't. He taking it too personal. He can't, you know, like he's not. You see where he was like, he said some shit like, he said, you know, I'm a winner.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No, he still identifies as a winner.
I hit the winning putt. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, he's a loser. And grown for life. Yeah.
Right. He don't realize he peaked in high school, but he still feel like a winner. He fucking up. So there's that. I like the fact that my man, the cancer patient, he didn't switch up at all. All the way to the end, he was talking shit. You know, where they was beating the shit out of him. He did not fall back. He is like, it's going to be what it's going to be. Y'all just got to beat me to death. I'm going to say everything that I feel. You motherfuckers. You got the wrong motherfuckers. You know. And the way my man Tillman in that gun game, he's a bad motherfucker. He's a hell of a shot. But he shoots you like how niggas just be Kobe-ing a paper ball into the trash. You know what I'm saying? You are afterthought before the gun go through your body. I mean, before the bullet go through your body. That nigga you're done. Like, we can't even, what the fuck? Why are we having a conversation with the wrong guy? popped him. Get him out of here. Just like you popped a dude in the living room. What else did I see that I liked? I seen, you know, with Wayne's father. He's just as kind of out the loop and absent-minded as inept. His son is. Yeah, just an inept. And it goes back to the theme of the inept men, inept mm-hmm. fathers, or inept, you know, male characters. You see it even more now. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a clear demarcation of these dudes that are like almost in the way. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a theme now. They just in the way. He's on some other shit. He's like, yeah, you know, a little man wanted to be a ballerina. I told him he had to be a ballerino. That shit was such a odd ass testimony for the moment.
The trip shit is. He in his interview with the FBI, the son is interviewing. Uh-huh. This nigga, did you see this nigga Martini set up?
Yeah, no, he's on his own. He is on his own wave.
That nigga set it's up an offer, clean.
Y'all want some? He had a little shaker. Yeah,
he had the whole hookup. If you look on the side, it had like the briefcase you open up with all the shit in it, uh-huh. standing up, the drink, the mixer, all that shit over there, man. He nigga had that shit set up for the to-go martini.
Yeah, nah, that shit was wild. He's on his own. It seems like there's this thread of delusional men, right? There's that one scene where Indira's husband Lars, right, the golf pro, quote unquote, you know what I mean, came up to him, was like, "Yo, I want a wife." She's like, "Yo, you got a wife?" He's like, "Nah, I need a wife. Somebody's gonna hold me down. It's gonna be there emotionally. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen to my dreams. You know, fuck me. You know what I mean? Cook up something." Ah.
When in reality,
you ain't doing it.
When in reality, yeah. He is the wife.
Yeah, or the baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, this motherfucker again in the way, and she's like, "Yo, I can't believe this motherfucker." You know, so that was funny. What was I gonna say? I think Munch, he just speaking all this little fortune cookie talk. At least that when a man digs a grave, he has to fill it. Right. Otherwise, it's just a hole. That's some deep shit. I was like, damn.
Right.
He got you some shit to ponder on.
The nigga you know, men like us, we got very few words left. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But we gotta understand this nigga 500 years old.
That's true. He done been through all them words.
Shit. He done been the devil for a long time. Shit. Yeah. It ain't much else to talk about.
He don't do
about.
Small talk. Mm-mm. Right. Yeah, that ain't that. Mm-mm. So there was that. Looks like the golf pro is probably cheating. You know what I'm saying? You see him spray the cologne on his way to physical therapy.
At night.
Right. Exactly. It's kind of cute to see Scotty on the drums getting her shit off. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was one of the moments where it was kind of like, you know, like, it was just like a little moment or whatever. She pulled the shit off and she's eyed on the drums. She better on the drums than homie. Mm-hmm. You know, he got like a fucking 10 drums, 5 cymbal set. You know what I mean? You know, he probably trashed. He's one of those people, you know, people that are like, they are terrible, like a dilettante, like they terrible at everything. They are extreme hobbyists. They buy the best of the best mm-hmm. of everything, but they not good at that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you always see the cats that go play play pickup and they got mad gear on. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And they trash. So he just seems like that. Like he just invests in the potential of it all. Like, nah. You know, and he's so fucking delusional. I'll say this. This is what I want to say. I mean, I got a bunch of, like, just observations. But I think that this was a Lorraine episode. You know? Like, and I think so far, I think this might, in my opinion, this is my favorite episode so far of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, it was cooking on this episode. And, like, you just see how evil Lorraine could get. Like, she don't fuck around. Like, with the dude, you know, because the whole thing was Tillman was trying to shut down the deal so that the bank owner wouldn't sell to Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
So Lorraine found that out and basically bankrupted this motherfucker somehow.
Well, she told the nigga from the jump. She got SCC on the speed dial. He already got some shit in the mix that if they were to look at, will fuck him up. You know what I'm saying? She already told this nigga that. You know what I mean? Sheriff want the wife. He want Dottie. And she like, I ain't giving them to you, so whatever. So he like, all right, I'm going to fuck you over and block the deal. And I'm going to let you know about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put the shirt and write you a letter right at your damn office. So she like, okay, that's cool. So she told old Patch Eye, gas up the Porsche. You know what I'm saying? You know how people was like, gas up the jet. Like, gas up the Porsche. Where am I going? To steal an election. So we ain't even got there yet. But if he don't win an election, he ain't the sheriff. And then, you know what I'm saying, where's his power? You know? And then she catches, she's like, get, what's his name? Not Valeria. What's his name? He got a woman's name. The banker.
Oh, something with a V. VD was his initials.
Yeah,
though.
So get his cell phone number, because I got some shit to tell him.
Right.
And the way they catch him at the strip club. Well, everybody catch him at the strip club. He always there.
Mm-hmm.
He had a strip club. She like, I hope you saved a little something for yourself and then give it all to the stripper, because I'm you know what I'm saying, I'm gonna get a deal to this bank. I'm emptying. I got the SEC on your ass, and they into all your accounts. You can't get to them no more. Yeah, and your son is on default at Notre Dame. So guess what that means? You ain't gonna be able to pay them. But I thought that was a little TV, because of, you know what I'm saying, nigga always get a student loan.
Yeah, you ain't leaving immediately. That shit, that ain't gonna happen like that day.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, it's TV, you gotta let it go. I'm like, shit, motherfucker couldn't get me out of the game that quick. I done been broke.
Nah. But I'm gonna make a play.
But he fucked up. So he bankrupt in the middle of the club. He can't even he looking like he can't even get home. But it did show that she will pull that rank that she got. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. Which I like. And, I ain't mad. She's petty. Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? Again, as I say, it starts to rearrange the characters. Now it puts the boogeyman back on their side. But then it takes Lorraine and put it on Dottie's side. It takes the police, put it on Dottie's side. So now it's the girls against boys. You know what I'm saying? And it's about to be a trip. And the way that, she offered the police a job in her organization. You know what I'm saying? So, which she probably going to take, because she hurting. She got got shit to pay back, loans to pay back, and she offering to, you know what I'm saying, make sure all that's good. So, look like the police and Lorraine is going to team up. Lorraine got old boy on the fence, but then the police had brought Lorraine Dottie's file to where we can see as an audience how abused she was with Roy. And we saw Roy slap his new wife up, you know what I'm saying, with a quick look. Ha-ha! You know what I'm saying?
Right, with no regard. Like, that's just what he do.
And it didn't seem like he followed his own rules that he gave to the other dude that he shot, but okay. He just went, bow, bow.
What was his rule? He said, don't hit them. What was his thing?
Something about don't hit them unless I don't know what the fucking rules was. Something from the 1500s. But he smacked up real quick. Blah, blah. So now, but at that time, he recognized who the motherfucking car salesman was, what he looked like. That's how he knew the old boy wasn't the one.
Right.
So it's all coming together. You know what I'm saying? The size of setting up size. The husband is in up this fuck. The daddy is in up this fuck. You know, so we gonna see how this all play out.
Yeah, we're going to see. It's been good. Like I said, I think it was Lorraine's episode, and she had quite a few quotes that I copied a few of them joints down. Mm-hmm. There's some moments. There was the one moment when I think she's at the house and they wheel in her son, mm-hmm. wheeling her son from the hospital. She's like, "Oh, not now," right. Which was hilarious. She didn't want to be inconvenienced with this cat, like with emotional, like the emotional weight of the situation. The emotional mm-hmm. commitment is inconvenient. As long as I got him in my purview, mm-hmm. and I know that he's safe, and I know that I can control him or reach him, that's enough. Now to engage with that man, I do it when I do it, but not right now.
Not at work.
Wheel that motherfucker back out of here. So that was funny. She had another line where she asked the man, she was like, "Are your balls in your belly looking for a safe place to hide?"
Damn.
It was like, yo, that shit is wild. She told somebody quiet, a grown up is talking. Mm. And then my favorite was when she said after she bankrupted VD, which is a very funny abbreviation, but she says, "You're gonna live the rest of your days in squalor, surrounded by the dead-eyed stares of your futureless children."
Wow.
Damn.
Damn.
Come on, man. That shit is devastating. That shit is crazy. You heard that shit in the middle of the strip club, and you are down. It is over for you.
Damn.
The whole shit just collapsed on you. Yeah, man.
That shit crazy.
Your futureless children. That's wild. But anyway, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. But to your point, you thinking Dara's going to take the job. I'm curious. What do y'all think? Let's make a prediction. Do you think Dara's going to take the job? Part of me feels like no. She should. She need to. She would be stupid not to. But I think there's this, like, I don't know, she got this, like,
honorist.
Yeah, honorable thing that she seems to be the only person that maybe her and Lamorne, who we haven't seen in a couple episodes, but like, it's like she's living by some honor that nobody else is. She's like, that she's delusional in that way. Mm-hmm. This would be the answer to so many things, financially, respect wise, it'll put her life in a whole nother place. And somebody she could learn from. Mm-hmm. I think also, would you trust Lorraine though? Would you want to work for Lorraine?
Especially to have that much. Do you trust any of
your motherfucking bosses? Yeah, but some bosses are not diabolically petty.
The ones you don't know. You know what I mean? I mean, the ones you work with directly, you might trust and might be all good with you. But then.
Right.
You don't know that rich motherfucker, billionaire ass motherfucker sitting off somewhere at the Hamptons and chilling on the holidays. You don't know what they up to.
You don't know. But if you sitting down negotiating with the devil and they got their horns out and you done seen them do some wild shit, they got their pitchfork right linked up against the desk. You know who you getting in bed with. Like, she ain't making it. She not hiding this shit.
You the police. You over there with a whole bunch of pitchforks.
I guess. That's true. That's a good point. I guess, yeah, that's a good point. You know, you are the cops.
Look, she burning against the sheriff. Look at Roy. Roy got his pitchfork out, his horns out.
Yeah, but she don't work for him.
Nah, but you know what I'm saying? They ain't showing none of the motherfuckers she worked for.
Yeah.
Yeah, Minneapolis. We'll see. They done shot some nigga. They black shooting black.
They
unarmed victims and shit. Please.
Well, that's a good point. I don't think she's gonna take it, but we will see. Let us know in the comments what you think. Will Lorraine take the job? Will Indira take the job or not? Let us know on the Instagram or on the SoundCloud. All right, y'all. It's time to take it out to
South Side,
you know what I mean? We out here in Queens, Raising Canaan, episode 4, in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the name of it?
Yeah,
and I'm trying to figure out who they referring to in that. Sheep's clothing.
I would say Rocky. Rock.
Why?
Well, we can talk about. Well, there's the one point. I mean, I'm saying Rock. There might be, and I'm gonna give it some more. But I'm saying Rock based on how she set Kanan up to basically come back home.
Right.
You know what I mean? And to make it look as though she's helping him out. Right. You know what I mean? And she's trying to protect herself and him. Oh yeah. Now we're gonna talk about it. But you know, it opens up with one of the couriers getting caught on a good chase, but he get caught, and then you hear old 50 Cent, aka, you know, Morgan Freeman saying, "Speed don't mean shit if you don't know where the fuck you're going."
Right. The irony. Well, you know, the irony was that was the slowest, fast motion chase ever.
Right. 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 Yeah, that was
slow ass scooter.
Mm-hmm. Zipping, trying to zip through the hood. So it opens up. We see Rocky purchasing the Southside Plaza as is, you know, which is interesting because I was having a conversation. Funny enough, I was having a conversation about that at the dinner table with the family, and they were just talking about the housing market, and I didn't know a lot of people in the effort to kind of get these sales off. They'll say, "Yo, we'll waive the inspection." Like, that's a selling point for certain people or whatever, which doesn't seem to, like the seller will say, "Yo, we'll waive the inspection," which kind of seems like, for whatever reason, it seems like it's, I guess some people are just buying into that, feeling like they coming up. You might be saving anywhere from $300 to $500. I didn't realize inspections were, you know, and maybe it could go a little higher, but I thought inspections were a little bit more expensive, especially if you're saying we waiving it. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, if you waive the inspection, you don't know what you're buying. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe they
you
just lose a lot of leverage. I'm not sure what you're speaking of, but I'm sure.
Well, they were saying, they were saying waiving the inspection on some, basically like this, on some as is type shit.
Right. But
which seems illegal to me.
Nah, that's only for people with money. You know what I'm saying? That ain't for people who, like, only certain mortgages require that shit like that. If you get in the FHA and shit like that, you got to have certain inspections, certain things done. You can't have shit like this, can't be out of whack. You know what I'm saying? You can't have cracks and nothing. But in, like, the bigger money mortgages, they don't even be stressing that kind of shit. That's like
now,
when
I'm talking
people
about
come,
the housing market.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. And when people come by your house, especially in New York, a lot of people want to buy cash so they can skip a lot of shit and save some money.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's certain mortgages, you can't skip all that kind of shit. So it could be counting out like your first time homeowner. You know what I'm saying? Because like if when I bought my house, if I didn't have FHA, there's a lot of shit that would have skipped through the cracks. And even in the end, we still kind of skipped through the cracks because the person refused to fix any of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because they wanted to go with a regular fucking person who could pay more without having to do shit, blah, blah, blah. So I ended up doing the work for the motherfucking homeowner. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a whole lot, but you know what I'm saying? In order to buy the house, I had to do it. Somebody had to do it because she refused to do it. So I understand. Niggas is trying to just get that shit off. Who could buy this bitch quickest for the mostest?
Right. 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 Now I see it. So back to that. So yeah, we see Rocky. She bought the Southside Plaza as is, and they seem to make a point to say that. We'll see what happens. This is the first time I feel like I've heard they call her Raquel Thomas. I feel like this is the first time we heard their last name. I could be wrong. Cause Kanan had been arrested a few times, so maybe his last name must have come up. But Raquel Thomas,
I think his last name different. Out. His last name Stark,
huh?
His last name Stark.
Right. Yeah, Kanan Stark. Right, exactly. So I wonder if she gave a fake last name because she bought it in cash. You know what I mean? Because then what happens when she goes outside? There's two cops out there. At first, they looking like they, you know, they welcoming committee, but they trying to do a light, not even light, they trying to do at least a medium shakedown, you know? Yeah, we looked up your son. So even if Raquel Thomas bought this, we know Kanan Stark is your son, and he's in school over at, you know, Queens Arts and Science or Queens Art and Design. You know, so there's that. She say, all right, whatever. You know what I mean? She ain't folding. You know what I'm saying? At least not now. Y'all going to have to come a little harder. But, you know, I heard you. You know, let me go ahead and do my thing. They don't know what they in for. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be, that sets a little bit of a tone. We see Ronnie in the world trying to get some work. And Ronnie perpetually getting dissed, whether it's his lease. Now he walks up on Pop and Snaps. And you know what I'm saying? Pop is like, call Ronnie old sexy ass Urkel. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm gonna say this. The cat that's playing Ronnie is killing that shit. Because he's got this restrained, like, fucking volcano vibe. Like, you know this nigga is just simmering. He's always at a simmer, but he's like awkward. He remind me of the cat that played Dahmer in that Netflix miniseries. Like, just that old weirdo, but like, that motherfucker, there's something is
off.
Something going on over there. It's not a benign weirdo. You know what I'm saying? It's motherfucking crazy. So we see that you know, Ronnie in the world trying to get some work. We are introduced to Pop and Snaps. What's my man's name? Wendell Pierce. And I forget my homegirl's name, Ebony something. But they look like a retired OG
street couple.
You know
what I'm saying?
Street couple. You know what I mean? Like Snap said, you know, when you're retired like us, those monthly checks matter. You know what I mean? Talking about the kickback. But they not really they might fuck with Ronnie, but he gonna need damn near a cosigner.
Yeah, they say, you know, we'll give you some bread, but you gotta get the bulk of it from somebody else. And we want our money back.
Right. Right.
So he did get somebody on their side, you know, on his side for a second.
For a hot second. And then I didn't realize when they talk about, and I'm going to let you take over in a sec, but I was just saying one thing that they showed, one note that I made over here was, you know, when Marvin goes to the Village Voice and goes chop it up with his man from the support group, which you found out, shout out to one of the listeners that reminded us, my man that he saved out of the little, you know, little crack situation or the whatever was going on. He was one of the guys from his rage meetings.
Right.
And you remember for a hot second, Marvin had like a little bubbling romance with the group leader, you know what I mean? With the counselor. Now, what made it interesting, and I don't know if I'm just digging too deep, you know, she got shot and killed, and, you know, her name was Renee. And that made me wonder if that's a reference to the Lost Boys song, just on some real Queen shit, like a little Easter egg. I don't know. I might be reach. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I was yoga like, oh, pose, wow. Boy, that nigga stretching.
Yeah, man, dollism. You know what I mean? Yoga flame. But it is what it is, man. Yeah. Go ahead. Keep all right,
so in Ronnie's quest to be funded, you know, he shows up at the bingo game with my man. What's my man's name?
Dean.
Dean shows up at Dean's bingo game with his mama, and Dean like, what the fuck you doing here, nickel? I don't fuck with you. I don't fuck with your brother. I don't fuck with none one of y'all niggas. Get the fucking stepping. You know, of course, Ronnie mad about that. Then, you know, the bodyguard steps up, nigga, get the stepping. I say it. You know what I'm saying? And Ronnie do all this shit with no weapon. You know what I'm saying? Ronnie don't have no weapon. Nigga coming there with his
strong arm steady.
Lees and his members only. in his glasses, mm-hmm. nigga. Like, I need this work. So he steps off for a second, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know what I'm saying? He's like, yeah, man, Unique don't cop from me. Cop from, you know what I'm saying, Rocks people, the West Washington Heights ass people. So then he pops up in Washington Heights, no car, no train, just shows up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Shows up, nigga. Hey, I need some work. I'm Unique, brother. We don't fuck with Unique. But you can fuck with me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he makes his play. What did they end up deciding?
They shut him down, it looked like. They were kind of like, nah. But Juliana kept giving him the ah.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we might be able to work. I don't know if it was a, like, yo, who this cat? You know what I'm saying? If she was feeling Urkel too, or she's like, yo, maybe I could use somebody to get over, you know, basically on Rocky's turf.
Right. So it looked like they probably going to give him some play. You know what I'm saying? Which then, in turn, he shows up at Dean's motherfucking house, or his mama's house, whoever motherfucking house, wherever Dean was at, showed up there with no weapon and decides.
Right. With no weapon. You know what I'm saying? With no weapon.
I'm going to take Dean ass out, seize his knife on the counter, and use that as his murder weapon. Put it on back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Stabbed his ass So Dean is out of there. No more Dean. Mm-hmm. Mama in there can't hear. She gonna have to get up and see Dean out there sprawled out. I hope she know how to call the people with the, you know, the death phone. So
that's
gonna be a trip. I don't think we'll ever see it, but you know, it's just in your mind that Dean mama gotta figure her way out through life without Dean.
without engineer.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Damn. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's all fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Then Lou, you know what I'm saying, you know, steps to Marvin apologizing for not showing up. You know what I'm saying? He want to introduce him to this new venture at the bar. They go to the bar and instantly figure out they gonna invest in this bar right away. You know what I'm saying? White lady going to give him 2 years before she step off. So we'll see how that work out. Immediately, Marvin want to run some dope through that bitch. She's like, shit, this is a nice spot. We could, you know, hey, man, I want to keep this clean. He like, damn, nigga, I'm supposed to eat. Like, nigga, you going to eat off the dough and off the drinks. Well, then, nigga, you need to make some stronger drinks. Well, some less stronger drinks. You need to water these drinks down.
Right. We got to stretch this.
Yeah, we got to stretch this because we need to make some money. So Lou, you know, he got a little investment in the bar. He started a support group with the man from the Village Voice, and they're going to be doing their own little support group together. I'm not sure how that's going to work, you know what I mean, how that's going to play into the fold, but I guess he's going to tell white man his business, and white man going to tell him his. So we'll see.
Put it in the paper.
Right.
It'll be his muse.
You're right. You know what I'm saying? You better get that nigga to write an article about his restaurant. Right, you bullshit.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's happening. Rock sends Unique home. She, you know, we got to break up with Unique. She don't want no drama around her. But all this shit look like it's setting up for her to have drama. You know what I'm saying? She going to have to figure out a way to pay the killer, the protective cops. Unique finna be wreaking havoc through the neighborhood. Ronnie finna be acting a fool. And Kanan. So. So she goes to Famous's to, you know, set Kanan up, per se, put a gun in his bag so he could get stopped at the school and she could make him come home. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know, on one hand, you know, people honor by being a bad mother, setting her own kid up for the fall. But at the same time, the feds is already on him. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of saving him. You know, so I'm not sure how it's going to all play out, but, you know, and it's very destructive and savior at the same time. I guess she don't know no better way.
I guess she don't know no better way. That's how she moved.
Right. So, go ahead.
I'm curious. Well, go ahead. What are you about to say?
No, I'm waiting on you.
I'm curious if that's ever going to come to light that Famous knew. I don't think so.
But, that might be what get Famous killed.
If Famous gets killed.
If Famous get killed. He don't make it to power.
If
so.
Famous. Oh, right. I guess that's how we look at it. That's like the league. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that nigga ain't make it to the league. Blew his ACL on the corner of Guy R. Brewer somewhere. Hold on. So, okay. So, a couple things just to jump in. What are we talking about? Oh, I think Ronnie at some point, Ronnie going to have to leave. Because Ronnie is, again, too weird, too intense, and he lying.
Ronnie going to have to leave the earth, nigga, not just leave.
Yeah. He going to have to leave the earth. I got my theory is, and this is just a thought. Y'all let us know in the comments. I think Ronnie might, if Rock get killed this season, I think Ronnie's going to do it. I don't know why. I just think that it lines up with it. And maybe Unique may have to kill Ronnie in fucking Rock's honor, because he's smitten and Pernissa is not fucking feeling that shit. Mm-mm. She was like, whoever this chick is, let her polish your chains. Let her take care of your crazy punk ass brother. Let her polish your chains is funny as shit. You know what I mean? My man in Fargo didn't say that in what he said he want a wife. He ain't think about nobody to polish his chains. That shit was hilarious. He was like, yo, I'm just trying to enjoy my sandwich. All right, so there's that. I'm curious if the feds are closing in on Howard. There was a moment where, I forget exactly. Yeah,
Howard got pressure. Rock got pressure.
Yeah, they sniffing.
Kanan got pressure.
Yeah. Kanan got pressure. On the bright side, Jukebox made the group. Which... You know what I mean? That was cool. And I love this. Oh, yeah. This is making the band. This is making the band. And she reminds me of some people I ain't going to say their names. We'll talk about that off mic. But what I liked is very 90s. She was like, the group's name is Butter with an A. Butter was the shit back in the day. Butter? Nigga, that was it.
I said that shit yesterday. I was looking at some shit. I guess the leather sets is coming back out. I was up at Saks. I'm like, that's a nice fit. That shit was butter leather. I'm like, this is butter. Butter leather jacket in the pants. I'm like, they about to bring a unique fit back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That shit coming back. Oh, shit. So there's that. So Jukebox made the group. I thought it was real, again, I always say cute again, but it was one of the moments where you see Kanan and Jukebox get dressed up to go to B. Smith's.
Right.
I thought that was funny. to celebrate Juke being in the group. I thought that was cool. Lou had a fire iceberg sweater, speaking of old school shit. What else is going on? I think Unique, I don't want to say he's all the way sleeping on Ronnie, but I think that he trying to keep him in check or trying to, not even keep him in check, but, keep his, real, he not giving him no real free reign. You know what I'm saying? And I think even Rock knows that, because there was a moment where she was like, you ain't put Ronnie on? Like, she could tell he's a volcano. And if you don't put him on, he going to be out in the world and something going to happen. And if it ain't you, it's going to be somebody. Right. And that, you know, you can't, you know, like a boss is going to be a boss.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even if they were away and they lost their position, they still think they a boss. Ronnie think he a boss. I mean, you know what I mean? So that's one thing I peeped.
And she was basically like, you know what I'm saying, what is he? And he was like, you know, he only good for some very specific things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And she was just like, shit. Then, you know what I'm saying? Put him somewhere where he ain't good. Shit.
Yeah. Handle that shit, basically. Yeah. You need to handle that. Get ahead of that shit, because that shit is...
Because it wouldn't be me.
It's impending. Yeah. I done got this nigga out of here. I done scratched. What else? We talked about the Rock shit. Butter, the manager's toxic. I like they had Ronnie drinking an old school ass slice soda. You know, I always get impressed by the set design. The fucking slice soda was funny.
Nah, they on point. They on point with the whole shit. The old school couple, everybody on point.
Yeah. What's your bet? You think Marvin is going to try to hustle out the spot, or he going to stay true to his word?
I think all of it is going to become under pressure, where a lot of shit going to have to happen that none of them want to happen. Rock going to get back in the game. Goddamn. The spot, the bar going to turn into something that it shouldn't have been, but it is.
Right.
You know, Kanan is falling further in the streets. We know how that's going to turn out. We know how Jukebox is going to turn out no matter what.
Right, we know that. We know that. I'm just curious to see how it's going to happen, though, because we thought it was going, she was going to go straight to the army, but here's a pivot.
But that's what the show is about. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You think Butter what? Gonna make
you think
it?
Butter's going to make it, or you think it's over for Butter?
I think Butter probably going to have a hit, and they're going to fall out, and that's going to be the beginning of that motherfucking end.
Do you think Famous will get to do a verse on any of the Butter records?
Famous ain't going to make it to a verse.
They don't remember Streets Need a Body?
All right. Shit, Famous going to be the body.
Yeah, damn. We'll see, man. Hopefully he don't just get shot and killed. Oh, and then Courier dude is tripping a little bit.
Right, because he's fucking up his business.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the young nigga trying to get an old nigga out of the way, but don't know nothing.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see how that happens. See what's going to happen with that. Curious how what's going to be the fallout with the feds, you know, following Rock and Kanan. We'll see what happens with that. I think that's pretty much all there is. I'm really, yeah. There's some good new characters and some good new storylines. Hopefully. You know, the Power Universe sometimes could set up a whole lot of storylines that don't pay off. Hopefully, you know, something happened with Ronnie, something happens with Snaps and Pop, you know. Hopefully this Jukebox Butter situation, something, you know, Judith Light over at the bar. Hopefully that something happens there. We'll see. Famous, hopefully he gets some substantial lines and at least one episode where he kind of, you know, kind of contributes to the ecosystem. Tony Maselli is still, I guess, I don't know if he going to be in jail. You know what I mean? What's going to happen with him? Is that over? Juliana. Yeah. Are they going to have the square off? Is Juliana going to kill Rocky? I still think it's going to be Ronnie.
Nah, Juliana going to get
any predictions, any questions?
Nah, I ain't got no predictions. I know Juliana going to catch the best of it. I think Famous' purpose is to show Kanan's ruthlessness, his switch into the game all the way. Rock gonna die a hero's death, death of a hustler.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Street's gonna go crazy.
So that's all I got. I don't know when any of that is happening, but you know,
yeah,
it's fun to watch. They might drag it another two seasons.
Yeah.
Cause she's
good. I'm not mad, man. I'm not mad at this one, man. It's still my favorite out of the whole universe outside of the OG Power. Raising Kanan is still number one for me. Yeah, man. So speaking of number one, we going back into a new Black History year. 1-1 is on the way to be here before we'll be back. You got any parting thoughts on the horizon of a new year you wanna listeners with?
Next week we coming with, you know, a 2024 forecast and a 2023 recap. 23, I had to see both sides of 2023. Good to be here, you know what I'm saying? Hope everybody's able to celebrate their own journey through this motherfucker and celebrate the fact that we all are able to come together on Wednesdays and put this, listen and talk. God damn it. That's what it is. Shit.
There you go. I echo that. You know what I mean? Word. Whoa. Shit. Broken record, but shit. Let it play. Put the needle on it. Two things.
12:30 if you're in Connecticut, Stanford, New York Comedy Club at Stanford. I'll be doing shows up there. Cool showcase show. I'll be up there if you're in town there. But again, D.C., February 8th through the 10th. And Hartford City Steam, February, I want to say 16th and 17th. Definitely come on out. You know what I mean? We trying to have a good-ass time. And tickets are on sale right now. DamianLemon.com, DCImprov.com, City Steam, I believe. City, just look up City Steam on Google or go DamianLemon.com. The links are there. And shit. Till next week. Tell or till next year, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in a conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in a conversation.